RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Greetings from Madrid and welcome to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, where we bring Spain to you through our shortwave broadcast. On today's broadcast, we bring you an unknown side of Charles Dickens, at least for the Spanish-speaking public. Pasiones públicas, emociones privadas, public passions, private emotions, is a collection of 30 articles originally written by Charles Dickens and translated to Spanish by Dolores Payás. We spoke with Dolores about discovering a new side of the author and adapting it for the Spanish readers.
The voice of the journalist is very honest, pure. You know, it's a fantastic voice, and at the same time, it's a literary voice, highly literary voice. Actually, I think sometimes it's even better than the fiction voice.
On today's broadcast, we have help from sound technician Marcos Barril and production help from Cristina Dorado. Before we learn about Dickens's journalistic legacy, we bring you the news. It's been 4 years since the declaration of the state of alarm due to the COVID-19 pandemic here in Spain, and new corruption cases related to mask contracts are coming out. After the investigation that involves her brother, Madrilian Regional Minister Isabel Díaz Ayuso is once again caught up in one of those cases. The Madrilian District Attorney reported her current partner, Alberto González, for alleged tax fraud for a quantity of more than 300,000 euros and counterfeit. Mrs. Ayuso denied the accusations and insinuated she was the victim of a complot.
Llevo cinco años desde que entré en política, fui recibida.
I have personally been dealing with this for 5 years since I came into politics. I was received with an investigation committee against my family. I have been putting up with this since the beginning. She added that Mr. González was just going through an inspection and it has nothing to do with the government of the region of Madrid. Meanwhile, the Socialist Party called for her resignation.
Señor Feijóo, le exijo la dimisión de la presidenta de la Comunidad de Madrid después de lo que hemos conocido en el día de hoy y en el día de ayer. Aunque le cueste el puesto, señoría.
Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez appealed to the People's Party's leader Alberto Núñez Feijóo, making a reference to former People's Party's leader Pablo Casado, who resigned after showing doubts about the corruption case involving Mrs. Ayuso's brother. The People's Party tried to refocus on the case involving the socialist, the Coldo case. Today in the Senate, a committee was approved to investigate the case with the support of the socialist. The Congress committee is, however, on hold as it proposes the investigation of all contracts signed by public administrations during the COVID pandemic. Miguel Tellado, spokesperson for the People's Party.
Desde el Partido Popular creemos que no es razonable crear una comisión de investigación en el Congreso.
The People's Party believes that it's not reasonable to create an investigation committee in Congress to investigate, amongst other people, the President of Congress. On Wednesday morning, the People's Party and the Socialists met for the third time to negotiate the renewal of the General Council of the Judiciary, which has been blocked for 5 years. After two meetings in Brussels, Minister of the Presidency Félix Bolaños and People's Party's Vice Secretary Esteban González Pons met in Strasbourg, this time to discuss the renewal. With the amnesty law in the middle of the conflict, the People's Party say they don't trust the socialist. Miguel Tellado, People's Party's spokesman.
Sería tremendamente importante que Partido Popular y Partido Socialista fuésemos capaces de desbloquear la renovación del.
It would be very important that the People's Party and the Socialist Party were able to unblock the judicial power and at the same time approve a new law to depoliticize the General Council of the Judiciary. but we trust the socialists very little. The socialists, meanwhile, assure that nothing has changed since the negotiations began, Félix Bolaños.
No hay nada que haya afectado a esa negociación, porque realmente la situación es
There is nothing that has affected the negotiations, because really the situation is the same as when the negotiation with the European Commission began. I think it's important that we all have in mind that the amnesty law was registered in Congress back in November. The first meeting with an EU mediator took place in January. After the meeting, Didier Reynders, mediator for the European Commission, declared there had been some progress.
Essentiel ici, c'est de constater que nous progressons, nous avançons. Nous avons eu deux réunions à Bruxelles, une réunion maintenant ici à Strasbourg, et j'ai proposé que la prochaine réunion se tienne avant la fin du mois de mars.
He also said that another meeting has been called in Madrid before the end of March. In international news, in the Middle East, confrontation between the Israeli army and the Hezbollah militias are intensifying. Hezbollah launched 100 rockets against Israel, which responded attacking the north of Lebanon. Israeli attacks also continue in Gaza, with more than 31,000 Palestinians killed since the 7th of October. This morning, the Spanish NGO Open Arms began a maritime journey to bring around 200 tons of basic products to Gaza. The ship might take up to 24 hours to arrive to the coast of the Strip, where they are hoping to deliver this aid. This mission is looking to enable a maritime route to deliver humanitarian aid to Gaza.
Esperemos que se sostenga, que más barcos se puedan unir a este corredor y sea la entrada permanente de ayuda y de alimentos en Gaza.
That was Laura Lanusa, Open Arms spokeswoman. She said, "We hope that this works and that more ships can join this corridor and it becomes a permanent entry of food and aid to Gaza." Josep Borrell, High Representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, stated that there are easier ways to guarantee humanitarian aid for civilians.
And when we look for alternative ways of providing support by sea or by air, we have to remind that we have to do it because the natural way of providing support through roads is being closed, artificially closed. And starvation is being used as a war arm.
He added that hundreds of trucks should be coming into Gaza with aid and defended the labor of UNRWA and called for a two-state solution.
You're tuned to the English Language Service of Spanish National Radio. And we'd like to remind listeners that you can get in touch with us via email at the address english@rtve.es. And you can also send us WhatsApp voice notes to the number 34680-688-698. And we especially enjoy receiving letters and postcards, which you can send to RNE, Casa de la Radio, Avenida Radio y Televisión 4, postal code 28223, Madrid, Spain.
Becoming the most popular novelist in the 19th century, Charles Dickens was a prolific journalist, a profession that he continued until his final days. He published more than 400 articles in very varied genres: satire, melodrama, opinion, essay. Now, a new book aims to bring this journalistic legacy closer to the Spanish-speaking public. Pasiones Públicas, Emociones Privadas is a collection of 30 articles originally written by Charles Dickens and translated to Spanish by Dolores Payás. To tell us all about this work, we have Dolores on the line. Dolores, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you to you. Thanks to you. It's a pleasure.
Charles Dickens is mostly known for his novels, of course, at least here in Spain. But his journalistic pieces are also very valuable, not only for literature, but also socially. Dolores, why were his journalistic writings so relevant?
Well, I know it's for me, like for most of Spanish audience, I think Dickens was basically a fiction writer, a novelist. But then one day I discovered in a second-hand bookshop. I think it was in York, by the cathedral or something like that. I discovered a huge book, very very heavy, by the way, full of articles, and it was such a big surprise to me because I found in the book I found a new voice of Dickens, and I must say that. I nearly enjoyed much more this voice than the fiction voice, because Dickens, as a fiction writer, he could be very soppy, you know, very sentimental, mm-hmm. and he had sometimes weak plots because he was a marketing man. He was selling, he was very popular, and he was trying, he was like, I think he was the first bestseller, you know, as a fiction writer. So the novels are always written in thinking on selling, you know, and the marketing, it's a marketing thing. But on the other hand, the voice of the journalist is very honest, pure, you know. It's a fantastic voice, and at the same time, it's a literary voice, highly literary voice. Actually, I think sometimes it's even better than the fiction voice, because when he was writing fiction, Dickens actually had to serve the plots, the characters, the dialogues. See, he had to restrain himself when he was writing. But when he's writing journalism, he's completely free. His voice flies in a free way, which is amazing. Also because he had money enough to afford the luxury to pay his own magazines and newspapers. That's very important, because he was a successful novelist. He could have his own newspapers and magazines where he published all his works, his journalistic works too. So it's very interesting. And also there's some kind of a communication in between the fiction and the journalism. They are not two separate things. Actually, Dickens, the journalist, was on the streets, always walking, always watching, observing, and then all those observations went to the fiction. It's a nourishing thing. It's a very fascinating thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned that you found this huge book that included many articles. Now, in Pasiones Públicas, Emociones Privadas, you include only 30 of them. I was wondering, how was this selection made?
Ah, very complicated. Good question. Actually, there are four huge books. I mean, these 400 articles, they are published in four very huge books. I have all of them, of course. I wrote all of them, but I decided very soon that it was not possible to translate everything. That was impossible. And also, it was not possible to bring all these to the Spanish audience, because it's very specific. Some of the articles are very specific. So my criteria was very simple. I choose articles, first of all, that could be interesting, that were dealing with general matters. So that means they could be interesting for Spanish and Latin American audience. Secondly, I choose articles which had a link with our days. I mean, this is not archaeology. We are not exhumating archaeology, and something that it is not related to us. All the articles I have which are in the book had, in a way, some link with our days, and that was my main criteria. I wanted to bring this to the Spanish audience.
Mm-hmm. So what are these issues that are sort of so universal that they were relevant back in the 19th century, but they are still relevant today?
Social exclusion, political corruption, loneliness, there is plenty of things, because if you see that the book is divided in two sections, pasiones públicas and then private emotions. Pasiones públicas is all which is it is the citizen. Dickens, the citizen who is denouncing unfair things, or satirizing, because he was an excellent satire writer. And then describing situations of poorness, of social exclusion. And then there is the private emotions, when Dickens is dealing with his private deliriums, because he was a very obsessive man. And when he was at home alone, he had some kind of obsessions, like, for instance, cannibalism, adventures. He couldn't sleep. No wonder, because his head was so full of literary images, so full of plots, of characters. He couldn't rest. He walked maybe something like an average of 30, 40 miles every day. Instead of sleeping, he was walking in London, visiting hospitals, visiting prisons, and all these. Then he described all these in the articles.
Mm-hmm. Are there any particular article or piece included in the collection that you would like to highlight because it deals with these issues?
There are many, actually. I am in love with all them because I choose all them. It was a very difficult choice, I must say, because there are so many. I mean, it's the quality, the literary quality, it's really extraordinary in all them. Well, I like sense of humor, so actually I might say that probably I enjoyed a lot translating the satire, the political satire. Mm-hmm. There is one which is a portrait of a politician, Verbosity, the politician, which actually could be any of our politicians today. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing changes. It's called Article the Honorable Friend, Our Honorable Friend, and it describes a politician who has just won the elections in the constituency of Verbosity. He says Verborrea. See, it's fantastic. Then there is another one I like very much, which is called, the title is Fraud in el Mundo de las Hadas, Fraud in the Fairies, where Dickens is satirizing to the fact that, and we are having the same problem now. In the Victorian times, some fairy tales were rewritten to adapt itself, to be adapted to the moral of the time. So that is something which is happening now, to the problem of the politically correct, the dictatorship of the politically correct. Mm-hmm. And he's satirizing. He makes a new Cinderella, for instance, or he talks about Robinson Crusoe without rum, without war, without violence, without black people, it's very, very interesting, very funny. They are very, very funny, but actually they are all good. It's very difficult to find. It's very difficult to make a choice. They are all so good.
¶¶
Dolores, you are the translator and the editor of this collection. So I wanted to move on to some of the most technical aspects. Is there any peculiarity from Dickens' writing that was more challenging or more difficult to translate to Spanish?
Gosh, I will never finish to talk about this. It's extremely difficult. Because English is always very difficult to translate into Spanish because the software of the language are very different. But in Dickens, it's really a challenge. You can't actually translate word by word. It's impossible. You have to make a new version. I mean, it's not like the instructions of the washing machine, you know, that you translate from one word, another word. It doesn't work like this. So you have to read it. You have to take the big picture, and then you need to translate, to make a new version in Spanish, which produces the same effect. Dickens produces an effect on me, okay? Emotions, intellectually and emotionally. I need to try to produce the same effect, finding a Spanish voice, which will never be a translation in the orthodox sense of this, because it's not possible, especially with the humor. Humor travels very badly, especially English humor travels very badly into Latin languages. The English humor doesn't like our sun. it loses the color, you know. So actually, you have to go deep down into your own language, my Spanish, to find a voice. For a Spanish voice for English, for Dickens, it was very, very difficult. Actually, it took me nearly 3 years to do this.
Oh, wow. 3 years.
Yes. Because it's a work, it's a very delicate work. The balance is very delicate because in one hand you have the great Dickens, you have to respect them, to worship him, the words of Dickens, you have to worship them, to respect them, and to be as faithful as possible. But in the other side of my table, my desk table, I have the reader, and the reader wants a text in Spanish which can enjoy. And it's a very delicate balance. It's very interesting, and but the balance is very delicate. Also, I am not an academician. Neither by character nor by training. So what I wanted is to bring these articles to any reader, not only reader, very exquisite reader, you know. I want any reader to enjoy this. And for that, I have not only made some special translation, but I mean, my decisions in translation were always driven by that, but also I have made an introduction in many notes introducing the different articles, because these notes are very colloquial. It's like a little bit like if I was sitting at the kitchen table with my readers, no, trying to explain them the joys of reading Dickens, the joys of discovering this new Dickens, which is so strange for many people. I mean, nobody knows. Very few people knows about the Dickens, the journalism. And I thought that was really worthwhile. This was not a commission. This was a very personal project. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did it alone because I wanted to do it, and later on I found the publisher. But nobody commissioned me to do that. That's important because it changes. The approach is very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you mentioned, and I wanted to ask you about that, we've already talked about that very few people knew about journalistic Dickens. I think that's also the case for Spanish readers. We are used to reading Dickens novels, and that's the side that we know. And I wanted to ask you, when you were selecting, translating, interpreting these works, was there something that you thought that readers were going to find especially shocking or especially surprising about Dickens' writing?
Well, the Dickens was a monster, a literary monster. I mean, there are two things I would like the Spanish reader to discover in Dickens. First of all, which is quite obviously, it's that Dickens is a monster. I mean, you have good writers, you have better writers, you have fantastic writers, and then you have the monsters, the genius, which is another league. And Dickens it belongs to this league. Dickens was a genius, a literary monster. He's not a good writer. He's much, much more than that. And you can see that in the literary images he is creating all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. So in that, he was extraordinary. And then the other thing which I would like the Spanish reader to find, and I think they will find it, is that Dickens, actually, these articles are not an ancient thing. They perfectly apply to what we are now. That's why they are a classic. I mean, some things never change. We are human, and the flaws, and the best, and the worst, and it's the same. We don't change. I mean, we are not far away from the Victorian times. I mean, we are, in a way, Victorians, still Victorians. And that is something I would like the readers to find in Dickens also, because Dickens has a quality which I admire very much. And whatever he writes, he never goes far away from the human being. He's always a stick to the human heart and the human brain. He's profoundly human, Dickens, when he writes. And I think that's one of the clues of his huge popularity. It's because despite he's using a very complex language, because, I mean, when you think about Dickens and you think that everybody was reading Dickens at Dickens' time, even people who hardly knew to read, and you see the complexity of his language, and you wonder, how is it possible that people made the effort to read such a complex language? And I think it is because the people recognized Dickens as a brother, you know, a brother in humanity, a brother. I think there is some, and that is very, I think this is very touching, and I hope that the Spanish reader will find this too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we can finish with that. Dolores Payás, editor and translator from Pasiones Públicas, Emociones Privadas, published by Gato Pardo Ediciones. Thank you so much for joining us in the English language broadcast.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
En Radio Nacional no solo hablamos español.
Una Madrid.
Las emisiones de Radio Exterior de España en inglés. Francés. Ruso. Árabe. Y portugués. Están en los podcasts de nuestra web. Descárgatelos y escúchalos en rtve.es.
As we usually do, we finish today's broadcast with a song.
De mi parte, sigo recordando cuando tomaba tu mano. La vida se me está yendo pensando solo en ti.
Colombian singer Karol G recently sold out her fourth concert in Madrid's Santiago Bernabéu Stadium. This song is called Contigo, With You, and it's a collaboration with Dutch DJ Tiesto.
No quiero vida si no es contigo, contigo, ey, contigo, contigo, ey, contigo, contigo, ey. No quiero vida si no es contigo, contigo.
You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio. I've been Marilyn Quintana, and today I've had help from sound technician Marcos Barril and production help from Cristina Dorado. We thank you for listening and hope you tune in for future broadcasts.